This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen Pro. Your cells expend immense energy to fight viruses. NAD, a vital coenzyme, helps fuel your cellular defense. However, NAD may decline by up to 80% after the virus invades, leaving your cells vulnerable. True Niagen Pro, also known as nicotinamide riboside, can increase NAD. It energizes your cells and promotes cellular repair. True Niagen Pro, cellular defense for life. For more information and to purchase, go to drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro. That's true, T-R-U, drhoffman.com/TrueNiagenPro.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I am Layla Mutin, your host. Thank you for downloading the Intelligent Medicine podcasts. We try to bring you good information every week, where I weigh in on topics of interest, your questions, and you can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Got a question here from Dara. Dear Layla, I know that you really don't like the Impossible Burger. I know it has GMOs. But what about this product called Beyond Burger, which seems to have innocuous ingredients, no GMOs, no soy, no gluten? Can you comment if any of these are ingredients are not what you would recommend? And I know that there is a movement to go to a more plant-based diet. Hopefully most of you are eating a lot of plants in the form of produce, vegetables, fruits, all of that, okay? But many people are also considering, there is a vegan movement, I know this, to go more plant-based and looking for meat alternatives. So I went and looked at the Beyond Burger website, and here is what you would get. You would get water, pea protein, canola oil, coconut oil, rice protein, natural flavors. When I read natural flavors, a little alarm goes off in my head. And I'm looking at the burger patties, the plant-based patties is what I'm looking at right now. Okay. So natural flavors typically means to me possible source of MSG, but maybe not. We won't know. There's cocoa butter, there's mung bean protein, methyl cellulose, potato starch, apple extract, pomegranate extract. That's why it stays a little red or pink inside, even when it's fully cooked. Salt, vinegar, potassium chloride, lemon juice concentrate, sunflower lecithin, beet juice extract for color. And a little asterisk that says here, peas are legumes. People with severe allergies to legumes like peanuts should be cautious when introducing pea protein into their diet because of the possibility of a pea allergy. Our products do not contain peanuts or tree nuts. All right. And the ingredients in the nutrition facts panel reflects U.S. product only. So this product may be a little different in Europe and according to their standards. So now in a burger, if you're going to get carbs from a burger, you think you'll get it from the bun, right? Well, I'm not going to eat the bun. But this Beyond Burger has 5 grams of carbs, but it's got about 3 grams of fiber. So your net carbs are 2 grams, which isn't bad. And there's no sugar in here, or it says 0 grams. And the protein is 20 grams. Now, apparently in this product, there is sodium. If you get ground beef, grass-fed, you're not going to find much sodium there at all. There's about 350 milligrams in this product, which is about 15% of your daily value. If you're concerned about sodium, you want to keep it to less than 10 or even 5. And the amount of calcium, which is only about 100 milligrams, and iron, because these are plant-based, there will also be the fiber called phytic acid or phytate, which may bind those minerals, so you're not really getting any. And of course, in a regular burger, a beef burger, a lamb burger, a grass-fed burger, a bison burger, these are also sources of CoQ10, carnitine, B12. You're not going to get any of this here. And, you know, as always with my vegetarian or vegan, complete vegan-leaning clients, I have to insist that they take a good supplement to make sure they don't become deficient in things like B12, iron, some calcium. They're getting plenty of beta carotene, which will convert to vitamin A. That's a good thing. But things like your CoQ10, your carnitine, you're really not getting that much from plant sources. So I like that this product, Dara, I like that this product is better than other products. And again, I don't do product reviews. This is simply my opinion and what I've gleaned off of their website. So for those of you interested, I'm glad there are things like this available. You're getting a whole lot of ingredients, but if this is something you want to do, of course it's up to you, and I hope you enjoy it. Keep in mind the sodium and the grams of carbs. Okay, I want to move on and talk about toxins. Toxins in our environment. We are living in pandemic, and we are now exposed to more toxins than ever now from inside the home because people are chronically disinfecting and things, and people are wondering why they're getting rashes and if they're coughing and if their skin is too dry. Hey, put down that hand sanitizer. Use some soap and water reasonably and certainly any time after you've been out, right? We have to be reasonable about all of this. But there is air pollution to be concerned about. And high levels, here's something, and this is from the end of May. High levels of air pollution is linked to increased multiple sclerosis risk. There's new research that suggests that air pollution may be another environmental risk factor for developing MS. A large cohort study of almost 550,000 individuals living in Italy showed that participants living in areas with high levels of pollutants had a significantly greater risk of developing MS than those who lived in areas with low levels of pollutants. The findings further confirm a relationship between exposure to air pollutants and risk for MS that has been shown in previous research. Roberto Bergamaschi, MD, PhD, director of the MS Center in Pavia, Italy. Countermeasures that cut air pollution can be important for public health, not only to reduce deaths related to cardiac and pulmonary diseases, but also the risk of chronic autoimmune diseases such as MS. And the findings were presented at the Congress of the European Academy of Neurology, okay, which transitioned to a virtual online meeting because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, several environmental factors may trigger an abnormal immune response that manifests in MS. The most studied of these are low-level vitamin D, cigarette smoking, and an unhealthy diet, according to Bergamaschi. However, other environmental factors deserve to be studied. Pollution is included, of course. Among the most toxic air pollutants are particulate matter, which is a mixture of fine, solid, and liquid particles suspended in the Earth's atmosphere. Particulate matter may range from 2.5 microns to 10 microns in diameter. Now, the main sources of such pollutants are household and commercial heating, 53%, and industrial activities at 17%, followed by road vehicle and non-road vehicle use, agriculture, and electricity production. The World Health Organization estimates that more than 3.2 million individuals worldwide die prematurely every year because of lung cancer, cardiovascular disease, and other diseases related to air pollutants, according to Bergamaschi. Epidemiologic research has uncovered a relationship between air pollution and MS. A large American study published in 2008 in Science of the Total Environment showed a significant association between MS prevalence and particulate matter levels. Okay. So, other studies have shown an increase in the number of clinical relapses of MS that were linked to air pollution. The current investigators assess the association between particulate matter levels and MS prevalence in the northern province of Pavis, which has a population of 547,251 individuals in 188 municipalities. Pavia is situated in a flat territory that encompasses the highly industrialized regions of Piedmont, Lombardy, Emilia, Romagna, and Veneto. It has a high level of anthropogenic emissions or environmental pollutants originating from human activity, Bergamaschi reported. The region also has peculiar geographical features that favor the accumulation of pollutants, such as the natural barrier of the Alps in the north and low wind speed. Well, this is interesting because there are some doctors who suggest that when the COVID-19 pandemic broke out, it broke out in these highly polluted regions, the area of China and northern Italy, where pollution is high. It's like the virus tacks on to the particulate matter, so to speak, in a kind of Trojan horse fashion. It's almost like the pollution is a carrier, besides the fact that it's pollution and it's bad, right? So the researchers identified 927 individuals with MS in the province. The overall MS prevalence rate was 169 per 100,000 population, which is tenfold higher than 50 years ago, Bergamaschi said. In addition, this MS prevalence is higher than that in the United States, which is about 150 per 100,000 population. So using sophisticated disease mapping, the investigators looked for clusters of MS. They also gathered emission data for particulate matter from the years 2010 to 2017 from the European Monitoring and Evaluation Program database. They then divided the region on the basis of average winter concentrations of particulate matter. So, three distinct lateral areas of air pollution were identified. The more northern region, which includes the large urban center of Milan, had the highest level of air pollution. Concentrations decreased the further south the investigators looked. After adjusting for age, urbanization, meaning population density, and deprivation index, results showed that living in areas with high levels of pollutants was associated with increased MS risk. When controlling for particulate matter pollution, participants in urban areas had an increased risk for MS compared with rural dwellers. Bergamaschi said it's unclear whether this risk is higher for certain types of MS. He says, to my knowledge, no study has analyzed possible relationships between MS phenotypes and air pollution. So what is vitamin D's role? Because we know vitamin D is important in modulating autoimmune responses in conditions like MS. Several mechanisms might help explain the relationship between air pollution and MS risk, he added. These include oxidative stress, which results in cell damage, inflammation, and pro-inflammatory cytokine release. Vitamin D also likely plays some role, Bergamaschi said. Upon penetrating the lower strata of the Earth's atmosphere, ultraviolet B radiation is absorbed and scattered by suspended pollutants. Several studies have highlighted the correlation between living in a polluted area and low levels of vitamin D. So air pollution can contribute to increasing the risk of MS by reducing vitamin D synthesis. So we're talking about the particulate matter of pollution blocking those beneficial UVB rays in order for us to get vitamin D. Recent research has also shown that air pollution is associated with a higher risk for other autoimmune disorders, including lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and type 1 diabetes. However, pollution alone is only part of the picture. MS prevalence in highly populated and polluted countries such as China and India is low, with no more than 30 to 40 cases per 100,000, according to Bergamaschi. This discrepancy is explained by different genetic backgrounds. While Caucasians are particularly susceptible to MS, Asians are not. This is so interesting. Study limitations included a possible bias because the analysis did not include other possible contributing risk factors, particularly other pollutants. And, you know, that has to be taken into consideration. So this research also suggests other opportunities to look at, such as progression of the degree of air pollution and the incidence of MS. This was all the Congress of the European Academy of Neurology, okay, that was presented May 23rd, 2020, and it was done virtually due to the pandemic. So it's really important to take into consideration toxins in our environment. And there's another study here, results from a population-based cross-sectional analysis. This is from Natural Medicine Journal. Air pollution worsens osteoporosis. Okay. This was a population-based cross-sectional analysis, right? The analysis included 3,717 members of the Andhra Pradesh Children and Parents Study cohort who were recruited from 28 villages near Hyderabad, South India, during 2009 to 2012. The mean age was about 37 and a half years, and just under half the participants were women. So the annual ambient mean particulate matter air pollution, okay, and black carbon levels at the residence, this was estimated by land use regression, others self-reported use of biomass cooking fuel. This is some of the exposure measurements done by the researchers. So the primary outcome was bone mineral density, which is what's used, right? The DEXA. And the authors put forth several possible mechanisms why fine particulates might affect bone mass. Perhaps the simplest is that exposure increases systemic inflammation and oxidative stress, which then leads to increased bone loss. So there's already a substantial body of evidence linking fine particulate air pollution to a wide variety of non-communicable diseases. Whether or not osteoporosis should be added to this list of diseases is unclear. So some studies have shown an association between fine particulate exposure and lower bone density or risk of fracture. So the simplest explanation that may explain is that pollution increases inflammation and oxidative stress. And we know osteoporosis is inflammatory, and this is what may be leading to the bone loss. So a 2015 paper reported faster bone turnover in children exposed to higher levels of fine particulates. And the report says it seems reasonable to assume the same will occur in adults. It's also been suggested that higher levels of pollution block ultraviolet light exposure, which may affect calcium homeostasis by lowering vitamin D production. Again, the particulate matter of pollution blocking out the UVB rays that help with vitamin D production in the skin. So whatever the cause, the link between fine particulate air pollution and osteoporosis is looking stronger with this particular study, and it's time we incorporate this concern about air quality into our treatment protocols for patients at risk or suffering from decreased bone mass. The list of chronic health conditions associated with fine particulate exposure continues to lengthen. The suggestion made by our late colleague Walter Crinian was a terrific naturopathic doctor who passed away recently, tragically. So the suggestion made by our late colleague Walter Crinian that getting patients to purchase air filters might be the single most important intervention they can make to improve their health seems more prophetic as time goes on. And this study was from Jacob Shore in the Natural Medicine Journal. Thank you, Jacob, for that. So it's important to take into consideration air pollution. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.